In the dying days of 2014, as 90-year-old King Abdullah lay in a Riyadh hospital, few could have predicted the meteoric rise of Mohammed bin Salman. The young prince, not yet 30, was virtually unknown outside Saudi Arabia. Unlike his prestigious Western-educated half-brothers, Mohammed had studied law domestically at King Saud University. While other princes cultivated American connections, he remained in Saudi Arabia, quietly observing his father Salman's governance through the traditional majlis system, where citizens directly petition their leaders. His financial awakening came at 15, when he discovered his powerful father had accumulated relatively little wealth by royal standards. This revelation sparked Mohammed's determination to become the family businessman, boldly declaring during a Kuwait trip his intention to surpass the famous Prince Al-Walid bin Talal's wealth within 2 years. When King Abdullah died in January 2015, everything changed. Within months, Mohammed had consolidated unprecedented control over Saudi Arabia's economy, military, and oil resources, setting the stage for the most dramatic shakeup in Saudi governance since 1932. We have developed an addiction to oil. This is dangerous, and we must end this addiction as soon as possible. With these words, Mohammed bin Salman launched Vision 2030, the most ambitious economic transformation plan in Saudi history. The initiative aimed to diversify the kingdom away from oil dependence through massive investments in technology, entertainment, and tourism. Mohammed assembled an army of consultants from McKinsey, BCG, and other firms, paying billions for their expertise, though his impatient approach often frustrated them. The principles changed every week. The wheel gets reinvented every few days, complained one consultant. His most ambitious project was NEOM, a futuristic $500 billion city planned for Saudi Arabia's northwest corner. Here, Mohammed envisioned a technological utopia free from religious restrictions and bureaucracy, complete with flying cars, an artificial moon, and glowing beach sand. After visiting the site, Japanese tech investor Masayoshi Son dubbed Mohammed the Bedouin Steve Jobs. But could such fantastical visions truly transform a kingdom built on oil wealth and religious conservatism? In September 2016, banker Nizar Al-Bassam arranged a pivotal meeting between Mohammed bin Salman and SoftBank's Masayoshi Son. The Japanese billionaire, whose $20 million Alibaba investment had grown to $74 billion, was raising capital for his Vision Fund, focused on companies reading the technological singularity where AI would surpass human intelligence. Mohammed committed $40 billion immediately, seeing the fund as perfect for his Vision 2030 economic diversification plan. 9 months later, with Abu Dhabi adding $15 billion, they created the largest private equity technology fund in history at $100 billion. This partnership exemplified Mohammed's approach: bold, headline-generating mega-investments rather than patient portfolio building. The fund made massive bets on companies like Uber, WeWork, and DoorDash, transforming the global startup landscape while revealing both the potential and pitfalls of concentrated capital deployment. When Trump won in 2016, Mohammed saw a chance to reset Saudi-American relations with himself at the center. Despite Trump's campaign rhetoric, Mohammed viewed him as transactional, someone who could be won with flattery and business deals. Saudi courtship of Jared Kushner began early, with Mohammed arranging Trump's first presidential visit to Riyadh. At the Ritz-Carlton in May 2017, Trump was greeted by a 50-foot projection of his face alongside King Salman's, with "Together We Prevail" billboards throughout the city. For Mohammed, hosting Trump first was strategic, demonstrating both internationally and to the royal family that he had America's support. Weeks later, Mohammed executed his palace coup. On June 20, 2017, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Nayef was summoned to Al Safa Palace, separated from his security detail, and pressured until he resigned. This upended Saudi Arabia's traditional succession system that had distributed power among family factions for decades. Now, one prince controlled all security forces, government ministries, and the economy, with no independent power centers to check his authority. At dawn on November 4, 2017, security officers across Saudi Arabia summoned dozens of the kingdom's wealthiest men to the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, now repurposed as a detention center. Prince Awaleed bin Talal, Saudi Arabia's prominent billionaire investor, found himself stripped of power upon arrival. Just days earlier, the hotel had hosted global business leaders at Davos in the desert. While officially targeting corruption, the purge also eliminated potential rivals and extracted billions from Saudi elites. Travel mogul Nasser Al-Tayyar was arrested despite practices that were standard in Saudi Arabia, purchasing discount tickets for students while billing the government for first-class flex tickets plus fees. After release, Awaleed insisted to Bloomberg he had no grudge, though he wouldn't disclose settlement terms. The government seized significant assets from many detainees, reportedly recovering over $100 billion. The message was clear. In Mohammed Saudi Arabia, no one was untouchable, not even those who had built empires with royal blessing for decades. On October 2, 2018, Jamal Khashoggi entered the Saudi consulate in Istanbul for divorce papers and was met by a 15-man Saudi kill team. Within minutes, the journalist was confronted, sedated, suffocated, and dismembered. Turkish intelligence captured the horrific details through secret listening devices, including the clinical dismemberment discussion and references to Khashoggi as the sacrificial animal. This murder became Mohammed's greatest crisis, threatening his reformer image. Yet his position remained secure due to his consolidated power and strong relationship with Donald Trump, who hesitated to condemn him. The Saudi government eventually claimed Khashoggi died during a brawl in a botched operation to return him to Saudi Arabia. The CIA concluded Mohammed probably ordered the killing, noting he sent his aide Saud al-Qahtani multiple messages around the time of the murder. UN Special Rapporteur Agnes Callamard called it a deliberate, premeditated execution that Mohammed either ordered or condoned. How could a leader so focused on modernizing his country's image make such a catastrophic miscalculation? Just 2 months after Khashoggi's murder, Mohammed staged a Formula E race in Riyadh, proof that Saudi Arabia remained globally relevant. Despite international criticism, he advanced his agenda, including the Aramco IPO that raised $25.6 billion at a $1.7 trillion valuation in 2019. Even after a devastating attack on the Abqaiq oil facility exposed Saudi vulnerabilities, Mohammed hosted Red Sea Week, gathering billionaire investors on his superyacht flotilla for his NEOM project. His deep financial entanglement with the global economy made him unstoppable, controlling oil prices while investing billions worldwide. His governing style earned the name Decisive Storm, reflecting his pattern of rapid, dramatic decisions without considering their combined effects. As Mohammed approaches 40, his legacy remains unwritten. He has transformed Saudi Arabia in ways unimaginable a decade ago. Women drive, entertainment venues flourish, and religious police no longer patrol. Yet these social reforms accompany unprecedented political repression. The question persists: will his bold vision create a sustainable new Saudi Arabia, or will his impulsive decision-making and intolerance of dissent undermine his grand ambitions?